That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. It's Bucket Week and we're here to preview the old Oak and Bucket game between the Indiana Hoosiers and the Purdue Boilermakers. Sammy Jacobs, TJ Inman will be along with us shortly to go over the game. Just set the scene. This is probably the most important Bucket game since 2007. Both teams need a win at 5-6. To get that sixth win and go to a bowl game. The game kicks off at noon on ESPN2 at Ross-Ade Stadium in West Lafayette. It's a big game. Tickets are flying off the shelf. I've been tracking it on Purdue's website and on StubHub. So right now we welcome in TJ Inman. TJ, happy Thanksgiving, and how are you tonight?
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I know both you and I are now off work. I just finished for the week about 30 minutes ago or so, so could not be happier, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I'm on vacation now, too. It's a game. I've been watching Purdue games basically since Monday night going forward. I'm about halfway through their win against Minnesota. There's a little bit more buzz about this game. Both programs have, you know, 5-6 is disappointing, but both programs have everything they want to play for in front of them. Both teams have had losses where they probably should have won to have six wins already. But this is what college football is all about, a bowl berth on the line, trophy on the line, and you're playing your rival. You can't ask for anything more than that.
Oak and Bucket game has had the bigger stakes before. I mean, let's keep in mind that, these two teams have played each other with the Rose Bowl bid on the line before and with conference titles on the line before. So it has had bigger stakes in its history. But in terms of recent history, this is as big as it gets. And it feels like both programs are on an upward trajectory. At the very least, I think there's a lot of optimism surrounding both programs. And I think that bodes well for the state. I think it's a good thing that these two programs are in better shape than they were, 4 or 5 years ago. And for Indiana, it's an opportunity to, number one, as you said, go to a bowl game. Number two, this is an opportunity for IU to kind of set a new standard in history. They have never held the bucket for five straight seasons. So this is the second four-game winning streak they've had in the series. The first one being back in the mid-40s, and then now this current one. If they can extend it to five, that would be setting history. So just a whole lot of the line on Saturday, and both teams are coming off probably their performances of the season last week. So what more could you ask for, really, on what it appears the weather's going to cooperate, and it'll be, I think it's going to be pretty, mid-50s? Is that about right? Mid-50s, maybe low 50s, partly cloudy.
It is. It's looking now to be, low, maybe high 40s, but mostly sunny, a little bit of a breeze. Football weather. Nothing wrong with that. They serve beer in the stadium, so if you get a little cold, you could always indulge yourself there. But anyway, let's get down to the game, TJ. Purdue coming in. David Blau is out for the year. Now it's Elijah Sindelar's team, and the last two weeks, he's played pretty well in a loss at Northwestern and the win at Iowa. Just, you know, it's interesting to think, you know, they bring Jeff Brohm in, he's an offensive guru, but that hasn't been the key to their turnaround this year. They're ranked, I think, 100th or 101st in total offense this year. But the defense has risen 99 spots to a top 40 defense, allowing 18.9 points per game. Now, a lot of people are going to get into the differences of schedules between IU and Purdue. You could throw all that other stuff out, like who they played before. It's a one-game season, and IU's played three games with their backs against the walls and needing a win, and Purdue did that last week at Iowa and came through. So, to me, the game is going to be a defensive battle after a couple of years here where we've expected offensive shootouts.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. If you think back two seasons to this contest, you know, before Tom Allen had arrived in Bloomington, Daryl Hazel was still the coach for Purdue. I mean, who would have thought that this would be a matchup between a pair of top 40 defenses? I mean, nobody in their right mind would have predicted that. Here's where we are. You know, Tom Allen and Indiana's defense improved the most in the country a season ago. And Purdue has looks like they're probably going to accomplish the same thing this season under Nick Holt, their defensive coordinator, and Jeff Brohm. So, you know, a lot of credit to Purdue for that. I do think that Indiana still does have the better defense between the two, but Purdue is, you know, they're stout on defense. There's no doubt about that, particularly in the running game. I think that they are going to be very difficult for IU to run against. Primarily, you know, they're front seven. Their linebackers, I think everybody kind of, their linebackers would be the strength of the team coming in, and it has been. And their defensive line has been better than people anticipated. They're a very mature defense. I think they start, it's either seven or eight seniors, much like IU. So a lot of similarities between the two in terms of defense. And then, you know, I'd be surprised if Indiana did not have some success throwing the ball. I don't think Purdue's secondary is great. I think that is an area of IU's defense that is better than Purdue's, is the secondary. Purdue has not really faced very many good passing attacks this year, but the ones that they have played that can move the ball and through the air at all have been able to do so. So I think one of the first keys for me is going to be which team can establish somewhat of a running game, because neither runs the ball that well, but Indiana these past 2 weeks coming around some, and it feels like at least they've found something in the duo of Morgan Ellison and Cole Guest that definitely now that's the 1-2 punch, and those two are playing better right now. They're as healthy as running backs can be at this stage of the season. So I think Indiana, whichever team can find a little bit of balance running the ball, is going to set themselves up well, because both teams prefer to attack through the air this season. I mean, I think Thomas would prefer to have more of a run-based attack than what IU currently does, but you got to go with what works. And right now, Indiana's offense appears to be, you know, running with Ellison and Guest, and then getting Rich Lego, you know, short to intermediate routes to, right now, Ian Thomas, Luke Timian, Simi Cobbs, and then Wap Villier, who is really emerging as a guy that I know we're both really excited about for the future, but as a guy that, he just finds a way to get open and make plays. And he's turning into a trusted receiver as well. So I think whichever team can kind of establish somewhat of a running game against the stout defense of the opposition is going to be set up for success.
Yeah, I agree with you there, and I'll take your key one further. Purdue doesn't cover the crossing routes all that well. They tend to blitz a lot.
Right.
That's how they get their pressure on the quarterback. Indiana, if they, you know, have done anything well in the passing game, it is those crossing routes, especially when Ian Thomas is healthy. We saw him score a 57-yard touchdown on that play last week. So, you know, to me, it's you know, Indiana has to make the plays that they can make to win. If they execute well and play like they did last week, I'm pretty sure I feel pretty confident going into this game. The key
last
to me
week's performance was that was special.
Yeah. Outstanding. And I won't tell everybody what you texted us when we got up big, but we'll keep that between the Hoosier Huddle writers. But anyway, to me, this game is, you know, just play within yourself. Don't try to play hero. Don't, you know, try and make the home run play when a smaller play will do. It's going to come down to the offensive line. If the offensive line can play like they did last week and keep Richard Leggo clean and open up holes for this run game, IU should be in pretty good shape.
Yes. Yeah, keeping Richard Leggo clean and pressuring the quarterback. You mentioned Purdue gets their pressure with blitzes. Their defense in front, while good against the run, they have not been as effective as IU's has in getting to the quarterback. Robert McCray and Greg Gooch, and I'm going to throw Jacob Robinson in there as well, and even Alan Stallings, they have all stepped up this year, particularly McCray and Gooch here in the last few weeks, have really increased the level of their play. And Indiana now third in the Big Ten in sacks, which is remarkable. You know, as much as we have talked about, you know, a need for IU to increase the depth and the talent level at defensive end, these guys have gotten the job done this year under Mark Hagan, and he deserves a lot of credit for that, Third in the Big Ten in sacks, ahead of teams like Ohio State and Penn State. I mean, that's incredible. Purdue, not near as strong against the pass in terms of getting pressure on the quarterback. When they do, it's coming from blitzes. So Indiana is able to, I think that helps their secondary quite a bit. You know, they can stay back there in coverage. They can still get help from the linebackers in coverage without needing to bring those guys down the blitz and get pressure on the quarterback. So the Hoosiers, I think their goal is going to be make sure Purdue's in game does not get going. You know, keep Fuller and Knox and Markell Jones, keep those guys, Richie Worship as well, keep them from getting any momentum in the running game, make them one-dimensional, and then, you know, force Elijah Sindelar into obvious passing down, get pressure on him. He's not a real mobile guy back there. It really is a one-dimensional attack with him, or it has been so far. So if you can get them into situations where you know they're going to throw, get pressure on him, force them into some mistakes, it's just going to be a matter of making those plays when they're presented to you. The defense, the past couple of weeks, has been able to make those plays when they've been in front of them. Not all of them, but some of them. Those takeaways that have been right there for them to make those plays, they've been able to do it. If Sindelar makes mistakes, you've got to be able to pounce on them, because Purdue does have some capable downfield weapons. Anthony Mahungu is one. You know, he's a guy that really killed Iowa and won that game for Purdue. Mahungu had a burst in the third quarter that blew that game wide open. He's capable. Anthrop is a good receiver, quite a bit like really like his brother before him. But I, you know, they don't have anyone to the level of Semi Cobbs that just terrifies you as a defense. But they do have some capable weapons, so it's important to force Sindelar to move around in the pocket, and if he makes a mistake, you've just got to come up with the play, because I think that, you know, much like against Rutgers, if you can get that short field, Indiana didn't end up needing it, but they when they got the short field, they were able to capitalize, get points, and that could be a big big turning point in the game. If you can score off those turnovers, force those turnovers and score off of them, that can swing the game from, you know, a close loss to a close win, obviously. So I think that Indiana's pass rush, instead of, you know, overproduced pass rush, is something that I think the Hoosiers definitely have in their favor due to the play of their defensive line here of late.
Yeah, and don't forget about Purdue's two tight ends, Bryson Hopkins and Cole Herdman.
Yeah.
They've
yeah,
combined for about, you know, just over 600 yards, six touchdowns. They really were good early in the season. I don't think they've done much since then. But those are two receivers that could give IU trouble. To me, TJ, the final key to the game, I think, comes on special teams. Indiana special teams have been great all season outside of two performances. Purdue's has not. J.D. Dellinger has missed three field goals. Spencer Evans has missed three field goals. So they're 15-21 overall on their field goals. It just doesn't, you know, it doesn't look great for them on special teams if it comes down to field goal kicking. In the punting game, Hayden Whitehead has been terrific. You know, you saw what they could do in the punt game last week when Rutgers, muffed the punt, setting up a short field. Joe Schopper has had a decent year, averaging 40.4 yards per punt. You know, he struggled at times. He struggled at times in the last two bucket games as a freshman and sophomore, so we'll see what they could do there. I think Indiana, with Devontae Williams returning kicks at a solid clip, he hasn't had any explosion kickoff returns, but he is, you know, he is giving them 20 to 25 yards per return. And then you have Luke Timian, who's pretty sure-handed, although he bobbled a few last week. I think they let him, let him bounce last week instead of trying to catch it in the air.
Yeah.
But I would take them over what Purdue has in DJ Knox is only averaging 18 yards a return. Richie Worship is at 21 yards a return. And then punt returns Jackson Anthrop, he's been decent, but, you know, 1.4 yard average per return on 16 returns is not a game changer. IU, I think, has the advantage on special teams, and this is a game that could come down to that, you know, flipping the field in the return game and in the kicking game. And, you know, we'll see what Griffin Oaks could do as well.
Yeah, I do think Joe Schopper is solid. I think he's a pretty good punter. Their kickers, Griffin Oaks has certainly had a better season, and I do feel confident in Griffin Oaks if it comes down to it. The return game, you know, I would just as soon hope that it's not a factor at all. The Hoosiers obviously missing the explosion potential of Jayshon Harris, no doubt about that. Timian has done a nice job, but certainly missed the big play capability of Jayshon Harris back there. But, you know, that's no use crying over spilled milk, I guess. But I think that, and right, Tom Allen mentioned this on Monday. You know, he talked about how rivalry games can really hinge on this wild plays, and a lot of times you see those happen on special teams, or you see them happen with, you know, a weird takeaway where maybe maybe a pass gets batted up into the air, takes just the right bounce off of somebody's fingertips, and, you know, the play is there to be made where you've got to it's going to come to, you know, a linebacker, and that linebacker's got to either make the diving catch or bobble off of his hands, and the drive prolongs, and the offense goes on to score. And it's that instead of, you know, making the interception, having a short field to score yourself. Or maybe it's a fumble that, you know, it's loose on the ground, and it's just who's going to pounce on it. So it's a timing thing. you know, plays like that are so huge in rivalry games. I totally agree with that. And that's what Tom Allen talked about on Monday, was making those plays. And if you don't make those plays, playing through that adversity, because you know it's going to come, at some point that place is going to be loud, it's going to be raucous. At some point, they're going to really, at the end of the game, and IU's going to have to step up and stem that tide. And that's where your veterans have to step up and make those plays. In the last 2 weeks, Indiana's veterans have performed incredibly well on both sides of the ball. You know, Lego, I thought last week, was really sharp. You've had the offensive line, and those guys are turning into veterans now. They've got a lot of experience now. And the defense across the board, the seniors really good. Covington, Scales, Chase Dutra continues to play really well. Rashard Vance now has, you know, finally made a couple of those catches to get the interceptions. And he continues to cover well. And then up front, we mentioned already Gooch and McCray and Nate Hoff. I mean, those guys have stepped up their play and are leading the way by example, doing what you hope that seniors do as their careers wind down. And that's, for me, that's what it's going to come down to, is which group of veterans steps up to make those plays that are in front of them. Is it going to be IU's guys, or is it going to be Purdue's guys? And then, you know, a subplot to this game is going to be the offensive coordinators. I think it's fair to say that neither team would be thrilled with what's happened on offense this year. I think both schools with offenses have brought and be happy with them. Offensively, I think that both would probably feel like there's, you know, there's some good things, and then some work to be done, and some things left to be desired from that end of the ball. And I really hope that Indiana's offense is aggressive on Saturday. Not to the point of, you know, foolishness, but I hope that they're aggressive. And I'm hoping to see IU go after Purdue's secondary, because I think that there is, like I mentioned earlier, some success to be had. I think Simi Cox can have a nice day, because I don't think Purdue's corners match up well with him. That can usually be said in every game. And I don't know that Indiana's done enough to, I don't want to say force the ball to him, but to get the ball to him. I'd love to see Ian Thomas continue to be involved and increase his involvement. I think he's finally healthy. And I think he can be a big factor. And then I think Walt Billier can have a huge impact on this game. He just has a way of getting open. And when he gets open and gets the ball in his hand, he usually makes things happen. He's just quick. Incredibly
quick.
Yeah,
he's fast. There was a play, I think, in the third quarter last week where he's on a crossing route. It looked like the defender had him dead to right, short of the first down, but he just turned on the jets.
Yeah, third down, right?
And just out-angled him. That speed that, you know, it's not everybody has it, and it's a real weapon. You saw it against Maryland, too. He's a guy who could be a difference maker. TJ, you talked about being aggressive on offense. A lot of chatter has been about Purdue's maybe propensity to throw trick plays. After watching a couple of their games, they opened the game against Michigan with a trick play. They opened the second half against Michigan with a trick play and got some yards there. Tom Allen said in some of his press availability this week that defense just has to stay disciplined. It's all about eye discipline, not falling for all that trickeration and movement and all that stuff. Are you worried about Jeff Brohm and Purdue's offense just throwing the kitchen sink at IU?
I don't think that they will immediately approach it that way. But I do think that if Indiana is having success shutting down that offense, I don't think Jeff Brohm will hesitate at all to throw some gadgets at the Hoosiers. A lot of what they do on offense, they use a lot of pre-snap movement, and in that sense, being disciplined in alignment and assignment football is really important. And then they have thrown some trick plays at teams and with varying degrees of success. I'm not particularly worried about IU getting caught off guard by that, because I do think it has been so well publicized. It's something that I know IU's coaches are 100% aware of. Now, being aware of it, being prepared for it, and actually executing when that game's going on are two different things. But I don't see anything that Faith and Tom Allen and Mark Hagan and this defensive staff, and I guess I'm just not particularly worried about Purdue's offense, you know, having a ton of success against IU. Purdue might win this game. I have respect for their turnaround, and I think it's very possible Purdue wins on Saturday. But if they do, I don't think it's going to be because they outsmarted Tom Allen and Mark Hagan on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, it's going to be a big crowd. I really hope the game is sold out. I really do. It will be great for the state of Big Ten football in Indiana. It'll build back this culture of college football that has been lacking for basically since, you know, the last time Purdue was good in the mid, you know, early 2000s. You know, this is a game that's a culture builder. This is, you know, it stinks that it's during Thanksgiving weekend when students are off campus. This is a game much like 2007 where IU student, like, I will tell everybody forever that was the greatest game, IU game that I've been at for football.
Yeah.
And it'll go the same way with students at this game. If Purdue wins, oh, I was there when they knocked off IU for the first time since 2012, and we went to bowl game, and it was fun, and it was awesome, and things like that. Or if you're an IU student going to get, I was there when we beat Purdue up at Purdue in 2017 to make history and go to another bowl game three in a row. You know, this is the stuff that builds fan bases and things like that. So it's going to be a barn burner. You know, it's grab your Tums and whatever beverage you're drinking and hold on for dear life. TJ, what is your prediction for Saturday?
Well, I mean, there's no way that I'm picking Indiana to lose this game to Purdue. I firmly do believe that Indiana is the better team. I think IU has the better defense. I think IU has the better skill position players on offense. I recognize that it's going to be tough to win at Ross-Ade Stadium. I get that. But I think that I would not feel this confident if Indiana had not looked the way that they did against Rutgers. And maybe I'm putting too much into that performance, but I really feel like this Hoosier squad has peaked at the right time. I think that they are as healthy as they've been in a while. And I'm going to go with Indiana winning 24-17. I think that it is going to be a very close game, a very intense game, a well-played game. I really do. I think that these are two quality teams. But ultimately, I think IU makes just enough plays to get it done. I think the difference is going to be Indiana will have a little bit better success running the football than Purdue does. And I'm going to go with Indiana's Richard Lego making a couple of nice passes to get things done in the passing game. And then I think the defense forces a couple of turnovers, gets a couple of takeaways that helps out IU's offense just enough to get the Hoosiers to win.
Yeah, and that's a good prediction. The line is 2.5, 3 points. I'm gonna tell you, I feel oddly confident about it. I'm nervous as all hell, but I feel pretty good, especially coming off of that Rutgers game, where everything's starting to click now. Late in the year, the defense is starting to click, the offense is starting to click. They're starting to get those turnovers again and takeaways. The special teams has been cleaned up. There's been no real stupid penalties. They had one last week, which who knows what the hell that was for on either Tigray Scales or Jonathan Crawford, because the refs sure as hell didn't know. But I'm going to go Indiana 27, no. Purdue 17. It's going to be a fight until the end. I think that IU ices it late, much like they did against Illinois. I just don't think that Purdue has the firepower that IU has on offense. As good as Purdue's defense is, if you look at their schedule, they haven't really played an offense like IU's, outside of Louisville. And Louisville put up 35 points against them. Yeah, it was the first game of the season. You can probably throw that out the window. But let's be honest, Louisville's not that good this year. I'm in the middle of watching the Minnesota game. I have no idea how Purdue won that one. They were getting dominated and turning the ball over. But I think a big thing that hurts Purdue in this is not having David Blau. He gives them kind of that running quarterback look, too, as well as a really good thrower. Indiana 27, Purdue 17. If Ian Thomas is the key to this game for me. If he's healthy and ready to go, they can't. You know, you're going to have to guard WAP, guard Simi, Timmy, and Ian Thomas, and Taysir Mack, and those guys. I just don't know if they have the bodies and the depth in the secondary to do that. But who knows? It's a rivalry game. We've seen games that we expected to be shootouts be defensive battles, games that we've expected to be defensive battles be shootouts. But anyway, TJ, have a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for taking the time to join us, and enjoy the game on Saturday.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and hopefully the next podcast we have is a victorious one, celebrating another bucket win and another trip to a bowl game that we can preview another opponent and get excited for a third straight bowl game. That's the hope. But first of all, of course, everybody have a happy Thanksgiving and enjoy the football Thursday and Friday, and then get geared up to go for this huge game Saturday.
Yeah, definitely enjoy Thanksgiving dinner. And then the game kickoff is at noon Eastern on ESPN2. Check StubHub and PurdueSports.com for tickets if you are looking to go. SeatGeek, I think, also has seats as well. Enjoy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the final regular season week of college football. Hopefully we'll be back with bowl previews, but we have a big one in front of us that we have to that IU has to take care of business first and go in with the same mentality that they did against Illinois and Rutgers. Just take it one quarter at a time, win enough quarters, and you'll walk out of Ross Aid with a victory on Saturday. Anyway, keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. We'll have all your bucket game previews. We've already put out our matchup to watch. Know your opponents. Some recruiting stuff on Jordan Juszczyk as well. So inside the numbers. So keep coming back. If you get bored of family and friends, you take your phone, tablet, go hide out for a few minutes and get caught up on our bucket game coverage. Anyway, that does it for our show tonight. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.